forever now. Till death you'll be in our hearts we vow. Oh my Imam, Zainul Abidin.
Shaitan Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم قل لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the one who created us in a fashion in which He gave us all of the inclinations that He has. He gave us the potential to be able to get all of the qualities inside of our essence. He also gave us the inclinations which are quite opposite to that. And there is a battle, a war in between these two inclinations. From one side, we are being pulled by the instincts of an animal, and from the other side, we are pulled by the instincts of an angel. And between the two, we are where we have to decide with our power of choice and reasoning that which direction we have to go. So in reality, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the choice is so that you can decide which path you're going to change or you're going to take. If you decide the path towards your animalistic side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to force you not to take that path. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to say, okay, because you want to go towards your animalistic side, I'm going to force you not to take that path. If He was to do that, then the power of choice and reason that He has given to us would become useless. In Ayatul Kursi, you have La ikraha fid din, that there is no compulsion in religion, meaning that if a person wants to decide that they want to go towards the animalistic side and have their end for eternity in the fire of hell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to stop you. He's going to try to guide you. He has given us 124,000 prophets with the holy book of Quran and also the 14 masumeen alayhimus salam. And on top of that, He has given us the protection of the angels that He has created that are protecting us from the insinuations of shaitan and also the harm that can be brought to us by shaitan. He has also put us in a universe where every single iota of it is actually assigned towards Him. If a person gets lost, and you see that, I don't know, you guys are my little brothers, right? You guys remember those cartoons where Daffy Duck wants to get to a place and there's like 1,000 signs telling Daffy Duck where to get to, right? There's like a neon sign, there's like signs with bulbs flashing, you know, and there's like all these hundreds of signs that are laid out. Okay, this is where you have to go. And Daffy Duck, what does he do? He misses it. Doesn't go towards it. So I mean, there's thousands of signs, it's neon signs, it's lighting, it's, you know, the lights are there, everything is pointing Daffy Duck towards that place, but decides no. Is going to go the opposite way and gets lost. Whose fault is that? Fault is of Daffy Duck, because Daffy Duck is shown as not very, what? Smart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kind of did the same thing for us. Every single iota of this universe is a sign of Him that leads us towards Him. There's not thousands of signs, there's trillions of signs. You yourself are a sign. And that sign of it is actually directing you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of all of these signs, we decide, like Daffy Duck, right, that we're not going to get there. Because only the ulul albab, only the people of intellect, will be able to see those signs, and they will be able to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they are like Daffy Duck, or Daffy Duck, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, it's been a long time since I saw the cartoon, right? I mean, if we are like that, then we're not going to get to it. It's not the fault of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is truly our own fault. How can a person live in this universe and say that there is no God? Anyone who lives in this universe of 280 billion galaxies with trillions of planets and stars comes up to the point where they become Stephen Hawking, become the smartest person on the face of this earth, and then says that there is no God. That's not being smart. That's no different than Daffy Duck or Daffy Duck. That you're living in a universe which has trillions of signs leading you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is a creator. And after seeing the most amount of signs as a person on this earth, decides there is no creator. And then out of all of these signs, He gave us also us as guides for each other. Your parents are a guide. You yourself to your brothers and sisters are guides. Those people who believe, they are the awliya of each other. They are the wali of each other. They are the masters of each other. They are those individuals who will help each other to reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if I just show up on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm here. He's going to say, where's the rest of you? At least you should have brought your family with you. At least what you could have done is that you could have guided your family to bring them with you to me. Where are they? Or someone is playing Xbox 360, someone playing PS4, somebody is watching a movie. When you come to this place, you are coming to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a place of worship. This is a place where you can come and see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get closer to Him. You have come to the aza of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam to do what? Qurbatan ilallah. To seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we get out of this majlis and we do not get Allah, it is not His fault, it is our own fault. And then father or mother will come to the majlis, but the kids are playing Xbox 360 or watching their favorite Disney Channel cartoons and Daffy Ducks. And this battle that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all that is required for us to make the right decision. On the other side, we have the inclinations that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The inclinations that are of us as an animal, actually, if we follow, we become lower than animals. What does an animal do? Does the animal not go to work? I'm asking. I'm also part of the same. Does the animal not go to work? Does the animal not get up in the morning and goes to its workplace and then collects all of that is necessary for the children and brings it back and feeds them? Does the animal not build the house that is necessary for the animal to be protected by the winds and by the cold and by the warmth? No, they don't do that. They do, right? And they do much harder job than we do. Hum kya karte hain sara din? We are all day sitting on a comfortable, what is it? Agromatic or what is it? That chair that has a really nice back support, and we're sitting there, and we have an agronomic whatever mouse as well, and we're clicking on it, and you know, we're bossing people around, and we're sending some emails, we pick up the phone, we call a few people, we send a few texts, we punch a few numbers, and at the end of the day we come home, I'm very tired. The animal, the bird, wakes up before Fajr. Does salah, prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse of Quran is that every bird knows its salah. It knows its prayer. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Everything in this universe is doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been said that a bird does not become the prey of any other predator until the bird forgets to do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no prey gets the prey of a predator unless and until that prey has stopped remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as the prey stops remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the predator takes it. You have seen lions and lionesses follow this deer that is small, it's weak, it's running. It will try to snatch it, will try to do whatever, but that deer runs away. And it's the same thing for us. As soon as you stop remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan, the predator, makes you the prey. But if you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan has no power over you. So the bird in the morning before Fajr wakes up, says, Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Does its prayer after that goes and seeks the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for that bird. And it does not sit on a chair, goes, flies from here, there, is looking around, is picking up these one small sticks to make a house. It doesn't go and sign a few papers and have the bank give you a mortgage and you have a house. Who's better? If it is just the materialistic world that we live in and the duties that we perform from day till night, and if there is no God in that duties of ours, if we're not waking up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning to go to work, then tell me how our work is any different than the animal. It's even lower than the work of the animal. There are individuals who wake up who are Muslims. They will wake up, they will not pray, they have woken up after sunrise, they go to work, they do not have the intention to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not consider that as a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go through the whole day, they come home, they couch in front of the TV, and go to sleep. If in the intentions of our daily life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist, our daily life has no worth. It's even lower than the life of animals. So what are we supposed to do? What did we say we are supposed to do? Have patience. Three types of patience was what? I don't have the people who answered today. They are late again, maybe. Patience, sins, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hardships. Now you go on the street, right? Let's say you go on Galleria, you stop people and you do a survey and ask them, do you know what patience is? Guess what? Everybody is going to tell you a definition, no? Nobody is going to say that I do not know what patience is. True or not? Everybody is going to tell you what patience is, but whatever definition they're going to give you, you will see that there is a common theme. And the common thing is, don't do anything. Have patience. Okay? Somebody comes and slaps me on the face. Yeah, that was kind of funny. It could happen. Somebody comes and does that. What do you say to me if you're standing there? Maulana? Have patience. Meaning what? Do not hit the person back. If somebody comes and steals from my house, generally people say, just have patience. Let the insurance take care of it. If my car gets, you know, damaged, would you say, have patience, don't worry, it is a hardship, it was written, don't do anything. You're waiting for the bus to come, what do they say? Just have patience. Do what? Just sit down and don't do anything. Your brothers and sisters are being killed all around the world, what do you do? Have patience. What does that mean? General definition of patience. So far, it seems like don't do anything. When we look at the world and we look at the definition of patience, the common theme is don't do anything. If the patience means not to do anything, then what is the point of having it? What is the point of telling the other individual, have patience? They're not going to do anything. In Islam, patience actually means to do something. In the definitions that we have in our minds, patience means don't do anything. But in Islamic texts, in the definition in Islam, patience means to do something, to do it consistently, to do it with firmness, to do it with strength, to do it in a way that there is no weakness, to do it in a way that you are persistent, to do it in a way that you never let go of that thing that you are doing. That is patience. How different it is? If somebody comes and hits me, patience is to an eye for an eye. I have a right. No? If somebody hits me, I have a right. In this world, you don't seem to have a right. The only right that would exist is that we happen to be, like a, for example, a tycoon, you happen to be a politician, you happen to be somebody of importance. Now, if somebody hits you, then you have a right to hit that other person back. But if you're just a regular person like myself, you don't have no right. Even as a righteous individual, right? Because you will think wearing the dress of the Prophet, you are righteous. So because you are righteous, you're supposed to have patience. How is that patience going to be shown? That you do not hit the other individual. I don't know. Who is the most righteous in this universe after the Prophet? Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. After the righteousness of the Prophet, there is no one else more righteous than Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And after that, all of the rest of the Aimmah Masumin are a photocopy of him. Exact photocopy. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is a photocopy of Rasulullah. Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam is a photocopy of Imam Ali. And it goes till the last Imam. Abwaluna Muhammad. Awsatuna Muhammad, Akhiruna Muhammad, Kulluna Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
So the leader of the righteous, the leader of the pious, what was his main issue? What was the issue that was brought up for him in his life? You killed too many of us. You killed Too many of us. You killed my uncle, you killed my cousin, you killed my grandfather, you killed this relative of mine, that relative of mine. You killed too many of us. The image of a righteous person that we have in our minds cannot hold Zulfikar. In our mind, a righteous person is someone, you slap him on one cheek, he gives you the other. If the person retaliates and defends himself or herself, you will say, oh, have patience. Be forgiving. He defended Islam. In every single strength that he had, his whole life. And he told us that righteousness is actually in defense. But what happened one time? He's there, the person's already on the ground. The person, what does he do? Spits on the face of Imam Ali. Imam Ali alayhi salam walks back and forth until he had the calmness of his heart and then cuts the neck of that person. Why did you do that? I wanted to do it specifically for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you doing specifically for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're taking a sword and cutting the head of that individual. In the mentality that has been given to us by a Christian mentality, that person who kills, although it is to defend, it is to protect the honor, has righteousness is not there. Righteousness would be they slap you in one face, they give you the other. If a person defends their house, in today's terms, they're called fundamentalists, terrorists. In front of their eyes, their mothers and their sisters are taken out of the houses. They cannot defend. If you defend, you are a terrorist. The Prophet, the most righteous, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that when the war became very hot and I was intensely involved and I wanted to take a bit of rest, I would go to the Prophet. Because the way he was fighting, I could get some rest. So now you see, righteousness definition and what we are supposed to react or be proactive when it comes to defending our rights, it is to do something. It is not to do nothing. When our brothers and sisters are being killed around the world, patience would mean that you do something. And what are you going to do? You're going to do everything that is in your capacity to do it, and you will do it persistently, do it firmly, and not even once you will give up. That's patience. But our definition is, don't do anything. How will the Imam come if we have that? What has been told to us? You know, don't do anything, Imam is going to come. So what are you doing right now? You're waiting for the Imam. So therefore, you are waiting for the Imam. You're waiting just like a bus is going to come or a train is going to come and you don't have to. What? Do anything. Just wait. Look at the sky. Look at the earth. Look at the flooding. Look at that individual, this individual. And when all of that is going to happen, then Imam is going to come. So basically, do you have the floods in control? No. Do you have the earthquake in control? No. Do you have those individuals in control? No. Do you have the enemies in control? No. Do you have the friends in control? No. So when you look at all of this, what do you get the conclusion? You don't do nothing. When somebody goes and does something, what do you say to them? Baba, don't worry too much. Don't put yourself and everybody else, you know, in harm's way or in worries. Just relax. Imam will come. Just wait. The Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the khutbah of Ghadir, he announces the imamate of every single imam. He announces the imamate of the last imam. And also in that khutbah, he mentions the qualities of the friends and the followers of the 12th imam. You know how he explains it to the people? He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal-Asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. He said, I swear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I swear by time, I swear by that afternoon, I swear by the most precious thing that I've given to you. And that is time. Can you find something more precious than time? Can you? Are diamonds more precious than time? Yeah, they are. If diamonds were the most precious than time, then ask that person of cancer who has a week to live and somebody tells him that, listen, all the diamonds that you had, if you were to give it to us, we will extend your life for one more day. And that patient of cancer will give all of the diamonds that that person have just to have one more day. If you were to look at those individuals who have come to the conclusion that they are going to die, they are going to leave this earth, see how precious time is to them. You who are going to die, I don't know what your bedtimes are. Probably some of you passed your bedtime. Every one of us is going to die tonight. Yes. When we go to sleep, it is kind of like a death. It's a brother of death, it's a sister of death, it's a cousin of death, it's a small death, it's whatever it is, it's death. And at night when you go to sleep, you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes you, you are with Him. In the morning when you wake up, it is as if you are born again into this world. You start off your life in the morning, whichever time you wake up. So, just think about this. Would you rather start off your life at 5 o'clock in the morning, or would you like to start off your life at 12 in the afternoon? If you start at 12 in the afternoon, you've already wasted half of your life. What are you going to do in the rest of the half? What are you going to do? Just as I have wasted half of my life if I was going to be 80. What am I going to do now? I wasted half of it. In the morning you wake up, you are born, you start your life. Would you rather start it at 12 o'clock? Would you rather start at 7? Would you rather start at 8? Would you rather start at 5? Would you rather start it at 3? If you were to start it at 3 o'clock in the morning, you have a longer life. If you start it off at 12, you have a shorter life, because whatever time you're going to go to sleep, you are gone from it, this world. Those individuals who look at life that way, for them the most precious thing is time. I've lived and died in this world 14,600 times. I've not died once. I have died 14,600 times. At an age of 40, and then you go through how many days I have been on this earth, and you classify death and life as being waking up and going to sleep 14,600 times. 14,600 times I've gone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I've said to Him, Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me, send me back into this earth so that I can have patience. Oh Allah, forgive me so that I can come back into this earth and do what you want me to do, to obey you. Oh Allah, forgive me so that I can come back into this world and not sin. Oh Allah, forgive me so that I can come back into this world and show steadfastness in front of hardships. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept sending me back. And as soon as I would start my life, I would do the same thing as I did yesterday. And then on the day of judgment, when all of that is done, I will still say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, send me back into this earth. I will have patience. I will not sin. I will obey you. I will be steadfast in front of hardships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, I sent you 30,000 times. You did the same thing. How is this thing going to be any different? How is the 30,001 is going to be any different than your 30,000 times that I gave you a chance? How is that going to be any different? I swear by time that everyone is going to be in loss. Meaning what? All of human beings on the face of this earth that are living in the end of days, in the end of times, are going to be in loss. Does that include me and you? Yes, of course. How many people in this world? What's the current figures? 7 billion? Okay. We round it off to 8 billion. More happy, more kids. You know that 1 hour that I'm going to speak to you, 15,300 kids are going to be born. In 1 hour that I will speak to you, in that 1 hour, around the world, 15,300 kids will be born and 9,600 people will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 9,600 people are going to die in an hour and 15,300 people are going to come into this world. We never think that those 9,600 we could be. 8 billion people are in loss. I swear by time. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Other than those individuals who are convinced, who bring faith. Faith is different, conviction is different. Faith you can have without performing an act, a single act of your religion, as we do. You ask a sister who's not wearing hijab, do you have faith? I do. What is your faith? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Aliyun waliyun. Where's your hijab? It has nothing to do with my faith. You ask a brother who is sinning, you ask a brother who is committing atrocities and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have faith? I have faith. Are you a Muslim? I'm a Muslim. You can have faith and not follow a single act of your religion. If you don't agree, tell me. You see all around, no? Who is this guy? His name is John Smith. What is he? He's a Christian. But he's not a practicing Christian. Who is this guy? His name is Saad Muslim. What is he? He's a Muslim. But he's not a practicing Muslim. Meaning what? Meaning saying that I'm a Muslim, saying that I have faith, saying that I have belief, has nothing to do with practice. These individuals are those people who are convinced, and in their conviction they perform the duties that are ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their actions are such that are beneficial till the end of time. A'mal salih does not have a limit that it will not benefit until, like a work that you do benefits like 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Amal Saleh are those actions that do not have a limit. Till the end of time, there is benefit. Tell me now, how many of our A'mal are Saleh? If you raised, my sisters, if you raised a soldier of the Imam, that's Amal Saleh. It will have benefit till the end of time. And not even till the end of time, it will have benefit for you and so many others till eternity. Because that soldier of the Imam, when that person is raised up on the day of judgment, will have the capacity to ask for forgiveness for your sins and the sins of anyone that that person wishes. That person will be given the power to intercede for others. That's Amal Saleh. To raise a child who's not the soldier of the Imam is not Amal Saleh. The benefit would be only in this earth. And that if you're lucky and he does not put you in a home. That is if you're lucky that the person does not put you in a nursing home because you have become a burden for that individual. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَامِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the definition of what is عَمَلِ صَالِح. That is going to have the benefit till the end of time. And that is تَوَاصُو. No? تَوَاصُو بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُو بِالْصَبْرِ. So does that mean that I advise you of truth and I advise you of patience? That's it? This is عَمَلِ صَالِح. Tawasu bil haq means that you take the responsibility on your shoulders in such a manner that in the conviction that you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you sacrifice every single thing that you had to tell others that that is what truth is. And not once you back down to tell others that what the truth is. Not because of the fear of life, not because of losing your life, not because of the fear of losing your health or wealth or kids or husband or wife or mothers or daughters. Who did tawasu bil haq? They were those individuals in Karbala. Because the friends of our Imam are the same friends that Imam Hussein had. They are the same. They told the individuals in Karbala what is truth and they sacrificed everything for that cause. And their actions are Amal Saleh because it will have an effect and benefit till the end of time. You are the benefit of that Tawasu bil Haq right now. If they had not done that sacrifice, if they had not sacrificed everything to tell what the truth is, today you will not be standing here. Today you would not be praying. Today you will not be fasting. You would not be doing Hajj. You would not know who your Creator is. Atawasu bisabr. How did they say to each other to have patience? Imam Hussein sees one of his companions is crying. He goes up to his companion and says, you know, don't cry, don't be upset. Soon you're going to be in front of the Prophet and you're going to be given a drink by a bridge. Afterwards, you'll never get thirst. He said, Imam, I'm not crying because I'm going to go and get martyred. And the reason why I'm crying is, I was thinking that I'm going to go to the battlefield. I'm going to get marked. And between you and me, there's going to be a distance of time. And that thought in my mind that I'm going to be away from you, that I will not be close to you, that I will not be able to see you again, that thought has made me in this state. And this is what Imam did, Tawasul Bissabr. He said, my companion, my friend, do not worry, because I am to follow you. Do not worry. As soon as you go, I am following you. I am coming to see you. As soon as Imam Hussein said this to the companion, his tears were gone. He had a smile on his face. He went to the battlefield, sacrificed. The last of his sabr was Hazrat Qasim was asked, how is death to you? He said, that is to me, is sweeter than honey. That is was of his sabr. He calmed the heart of Imam Hussein alayhi wasallam. Meaning these individuals who are the friends of the Imam, they are going to have such a bond between each other that with that bond they are going to help each other to be persistent, consistent, forbearant, steadfast in everything that they do. They're not going to pull their legs, they're not going to become hurdles for each other, they're not going to insult each other. They're not going to backbite each other. They're not going to tell tales about each other. They're not going to put anyone down. They're going to be such individuals that their love is so much that they tell each other to be steadfast. They help each other to be steadfast. That is the tawasul bis-sabr. And this is what we are not doing, and we are also not doing tawasul bil-haq. Sabr is that when bala comes, when musiba comes, when hardship comes, the mother goes in sijda and says, oh Allah, I thank you. Who is that? He's the mother of two sons who went out to the battlefield, who had promised the mother not to have a tear for them. That mother has gone in sijda and saying that, oh Allah, thank you for accepting my sacrifice. Alhamdulillah, hamda shakirin, ala musabihin. This is sabr. That when you have your 6 months baby in your hands, whose neck is severed, if you ever see a 6 months baby, try to go and touch their skin. Try to hold their hand. Try to hold their arm. You will see that they are just as fragile like a flower. Their skin is soft. Their bones are not formed. They are weak. Sabr is that you have a 6 month baby who's been dehydrated for 3 days. Whose face has gone yellow, whose lips are cracked, whose tongue is blistered, who doesn't even have the tears to cry and tell his mother that I am hungry, that I am thirsty, who's become weak, and his soft neck is severed by an arrow with 3 heads. That was used to cut the necks of camels.
And that sabr is that Imam Hussain al-Salam looks up in the sky and says, "Oh Allah, Oh Allah, this is also easy for me. It is easy for me because I know that you are watching me." Sabr is when you have been shot with arrows and your body is wounded. That even the enemy cannot count how many wounds you have on your body. That there is no place left on your body to have wounds. That you fall on the hot sand of Karbala. And for them to find out whether you are alive or dead, they take the horses towards the camps and your body moves. That is sabr. But your body moves. You are in the last moments of your life and all you ask is, "Let me do my sajda. Let me prostrate once more to my Creator." Sabr is for the eyes of Bibi Zainab to see from Tila Zainabia that the severed head of Hussein has been cut by a dull knife with more than one strike. Sabr is that. Sabr is for the eyes of Imam Sajjad, who has to see Bibi Zainab. You know, when Bibi Zainab used to get out of her house, Imam Hassan and Hussein are there. The lamps were turned off. Imam Ali could not have even the image of Zainab to be shown to anyone. Even the neighbors, they said that we lived in the neighborhood of Imam Ali, but never ever did we see Zainab. Zainab was shown to the world on Shamil River. When she had no veil on her head, she was paraded in the streets of Kufa with her hands tied as a prisoner. She was taken. Sabr is the heart of Imam Sajjad, who had to see that holy entity, that holy sanctity, that daughter of Ali, that daughter of the Prophet, the daughter of the leader of the righteous, to be brought in a street which is filled with those people who are there dressed in clothes that are there to celebrate, that in front of her walks the head of her brother on a spear. Oh Allah, give that same. Oh Allah, for the sake of Bibi Fatima, for the sake of her kids, for the sake of her husband, for the sake of her mother, oh Allah, give the same sabr to the Imam of the time. Give the same sabr to the Imam of the time who is the most distressed right now. Give him the strength to carry on that he has been carrying on for the last 1200 years. Give him the strength to calm his heart through the face of his in whose eyes tears of blood are shed. When he thinks about Assam, Assam, Assam. Allah bless him. Keep him safe. Get him to come to us as soon as possible. Allah make us among those friends and followers of the Imam that you have described in Surah Al-Asr. O Allah, increase the levels of the martyrs who have given their lives to protect the light of Islam. O Allah, give freedom to the prisoners of Islam, wherever they happen to be imprisoned. O Allah, destroy the enemies of Islam that cannot be guided. O Allah, give us the strength to always support the oppressed, and give us the strength to always stand up against the oppressors. O Allah, make the coming of our Imam as soon as possible. Matsumi Hussain.